Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Not Without My Sister. Today we are going to talk about waiting lists, luxury, and what we would wait for. My name is Beatrice McCabe and I'm joined by Rosemary McCabe. So I'll tell you, Rosemary, as I have been sampling my way through various non-alcoholic drinks, non-alcoholic beers, I thought I'd go on a waiting list for Blue Moon, non-alcoholic, but then it started to taste just a bit like, I started to become immune to it.
Hang on, immune to it in what way? What do you mean? How can you be immune to a non-alcoholic beer? It wasn't getting you drunk anymore.
No, it just started. No, none of them get you drunk. Although yesterday I said I got carded in the supermarket buying non-alcoholic beer. And some you do and in some you don't. Like in Target, you have to show your ID and others you don't, right?
I know. I got carded in Kroger buying San Pellegrino, the blood orange, and it was like I was blue in the face trying to tell them that it wasn't alcoholic.
Well, so I said, I didn't think I got carded for this. And your man goes, no, he was, in fairness, about eight. And he goes, maybe there's just enough alcohol in it that it needs to be, you need to be carded. I was like, it's non-alcoholic. It says zero alcohol on it. Anyway. No, by immune, what I mean is it stopped tasting like beer. It's very orangey. I think they're playing up the fact that this is like a fruity beer because, you know, with Blue Moon, well, I didn't know this, but I have been served Blue Moon and it always has an orange wedge in it.
Oh, right? I haven't drunk a beer of any shape or form in about 10 years. Don't really like beer unless I'm trying to impress boys.
Neither have I until this year because I don't really like beer, but non-alcoholic wine is like dire.
Oh my God, I was going to say something really stupid. I was going to say, what about that non-alcoholic peach Bellini from Trader Joe's? And I was like, that was the thing that is not non-alcoholic. I got very drunk on it and then had to have Taco Bell for my hangover the next day.
Yeah, that thing is lethal.
That's full delicious.
Of alcohol. I know, it full tastes of alcohol and like sugar. Little fruity.
I know.
Yeah, you don't taste the alcohol at all. Lethal. But anyway, so I thought I would go on a waiting list for that. But I find that sometimes even if I have two of them, they give me a headache as well, like kind of a chemically headache. So I don't know. I'm very sensitive now, you see.
Yeah, you're being frankly ridiculous. You would not go on a waiting list for Blue Moon beer. But this is a segue into the Egypts who are suing Hermes for not allowing them to buy a Birkin.
Sorry, Rosemary. You don't get to start. This is like a really bad episode of Fox News, like a segment on Fox News. You don't get to say the Egypts. You have to let the listener draw his or her own conclusion. You say,
okay,
the individuals.
No. I could say,
and then at the end,
say,
we'll say, what do you think?
I could say these people are Egypts, allegedly.
The alleged Egypts.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
So basically, Tina Cavallari and Mark Glinoga, that's an interesting name, accused Hermes of unlawfully not selling them Birkins unless they bought other Hermes stuff first. And they are quite literally taking Hermes to court for, as Amy O'Dell of Back Row says, rich people sue Hermes for not taking their money.
Oh, I think they're taking their money. I just think they're taking more of it than they wish to spend in order to leave with the Birkin.
No, well, the whole thing is they're not giving them the Birkin because they haven't spent enough on other stuff.
Yeah, understood. That's what I'm saying. So they are taking their money, but they're taking more of their money. They want to just be straight at the Birkin. But this is like a video game. You have to go through the corridor of doom, over the this, beat the lion, beat the this, and then
the
you can have the Birkin.
The only way, that's a bad analogy. The only way this would be like a video game is if the Birkin weighed 100 pounds. And in order to buy a Birkin, you had to prove that you could carry a 10 pound handbag for 6 months. And then you had to carry a 20 pound handbag for the following 6 months. And then 30 pounds. Like, the whole point of levels in a game is that you get better. What are you rolling your eyes at? You haven't played a video game in about 20 years.
What a boring video game that would be. Like, at least my video game sounded exciting, but also I've never beaten any levels. I was actually thinking, as my kids were all like, beat that game, finish that game, I'm like, in my life I never beat a video game. I don't know that I ever thought it was really possible. I always was like, who are these geniuses?
Beatrice, you and I and probably the listeners all know that what you're referring to is Prince of Persia. And that was the only video game that you were ever dedicated enough to.
No. Plenty of time. And Doom.
And Lemmings, Doom. Actually, now that I think about it.
Lemmings! Never finished that either. That was brilliant, actually. That was a great game.
That was a great game. And I tried to find that recently because I was like, surely that's an easy game you could play on your phone. But they don't seem to have come out with a mobile version of it.
Do you know what, though? It's probably... Oh, Sim City, Sim Farm, all these games. I spent hours on Sim Farm.
Now, I don't think Sim City or Sim Farm, I don't think there is a beating the game in the same way there is in like Mario or something when you get to the ultimate boss. You know what game I did beat though? Quest for Fame, that Aerosmith game. I beat that and I got to play with Aerosmith in Madison Square Garden. Lead guitar.
Game. I would say probably Lemmings is probably not considered to be PC, if you pardon the pun. Did you get that?
PC? Oh, Jesus. Video games. That took me a second.
I would say it's not considered to be like, you know, a positive influence. Like this idea that these things are all just killing themselves, Hank jumping off a cliff and you're supposed to stop them. It's a bit questionable in fairness.
Yeah, it is a bit dodgy. Listen, back to the point. Have you ever thought about or would you ever like to own a Birkin? Do you like the look of a Birkin?
I mean, I don't think anybody thinks about the look of the Birkin. I think people are thinking about what the Birkin represents. I think anybody who buys a Birkin, they don't buy, I mean, they may argue that they think it is the most beautiful, exquisite, beautifully crafted, blah-dee, blah-dee, blah, but like so are many bags. So you don't fork out 40 grand because you love the look of this bag. You fork out 40 grand because you love the look of everyone else looking at you wearing this bag.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's kind of gross. Like, and that's, I think, why the lawsuit is so kind of remarkable, that it's like people not seeming, although they are Americans, not seeming remotely embarrassed by the fact that they really, 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 really want to buy this status symbol. Like, I find it quite weird that you bring them to court for it.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, for many, many years, you hear about the rituals that are part of purchasing a Birkin or purchasing any kind of Hermes product, you know, over a certain price threshold, even that then Chanel, etc. You hear that they're in the back room, that you mm-hmm. only get, that you mm-hmm. have to go in and act a certain way and say certain things. And only under like very specific circumstances do the gloves go on. And are you offered the opportunity to view,
to even sniff the Birkin?
Even like peruse the rows of Birkins that allegedly are out in the back. Now, I mean, do they even have any of these? Like, how many $40,000 bags do they have sitting on a shelf? I mean, and then they've custom Birkins. And there was a whole thing this week with Kim Kardashian who had the audacity to put her Birkin on the floor of the, where was she, at the Lakers game?
Oh, she was sitting there with her son's feet. Yeah.
Like furore, how, you know, is it appropriate to put your 40 grand Birkin on the floor? And one of my favorite comments was, it would be grosser if she gave it a chair.
Oh, you're actually right. Front row at the Lakers. It would be grosser. But I mean, I suppose that's what I always think about with people and wages and money. I'm like, Kim Kardashian's $40,000 bag is my $40 bag. Probably actually is $4 bag.
But that's kind of what's interesting to me, is that at that level of wealth, that you still care about those trappings. You still, like, she obviously does care. She obviously wants you to see that she has the Birkin and it's on the floor. Why would you care about the equivalent of what, like the relative equivalent of a $40 bag? Why do you care at that point? Everybody knows you're a gabillionaire. What are you proving? I think it's not just money. It's also access, class, to a certain, like, it's cachet, prestige, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. European sort of taste. So it's all those things. And access is just a huge one, because like these people going to court are proving that even if you have the 40 grand, you can't necessarily get one.
Yeah. Although, I mean, there's a very slim chance, I suppose, that Kim Kardashian is one of the world's 0.0002% who just loves the look of the Birkin. She bought it because she just loves what it looks like. But I mean, we've been hearing about this for years, right? About, there's that whole episode of Sex and the City where Samantha goes to buy a Birkin and has to jump through 10,000 hoops and suck up to this salesperson here and that salesperson there. And, you know, you hear about, okay, each store, depending on, I suppose, depending on the area it's in, depending on how big it is, depending on what its annual turnover is, gets a certain number of Birkins a year. And the staff will then call their very special clients to go, you're first on my list to offer these three Birkins to. Now, what's interesting about this as well is that I have read, and I read on Amy O'Dell's piece, that in order to make sales commission, Hermes staff have to sell things other than Birkins. They don't get any commission on a Birkin. And that's apparently the only thing at Hermes that they don't get the commission on. So a lot of the driving of buying other things for them is like, we only consider you good enough to buy the Birkin if you've made me enough commission for it to be worth it. You know what I mean? So that's quite weird.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, if there's only three of them in the year, like, just get them sold and get on with it. What's at play here, though, is not individual salespeople trying to make their own commission. This is a concerted Hermes strategy, because that's what the lawsuit is about. It's not about like Tommy up in, you know, the Hermes in Chicago. It's about the fact that Hermes is encouraging or putting in place an incentive system, whatever, or a requirement for the salespeople to have ensured that whatever customer comes to buy an Hermes Birkin or whatever it is already up to a certain threshold, has spent a certain threshold. So, I mean, that's an Hermes, maybe an unofficial policy. I don't know, like, who knows if it's in their handbook or not.
So according to the Amy O'Dell piece, it says that the legal argument is that Hermes employs, quote unquote, tying practices to sales of Birkins, meaning customers have to buy other stuff in order to purchase the bags. And at the same time, the plaintiffs allege that Hermes has an unfair monopoly on selling Birkins.
Seems ridiculous. How can you say to Cadbury's, you know, Cadbury's has an unfair monopoly on selling the cream egg.
I mean, I suppose it's different with Cadbury's though, because you can buy, it's not just a Cadbury's shop, right? You can buy the cream egg in loads of shops that stock Cadbury's, whereas there are no shops that stock Hermes. They only have shop in shops.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a strategic business choice. You're telling me now that you're not allowed to have your own product for sale. You're required to sell your own product via other channels. I can't imagine anybody else being told that. Yeah, seems like an odd argument. Maybe I'm missing something.
I mean, I think probably what the piece is missing is that you just can't do both. So you can't have a tying practice where you have to buy XYZ in order to buy A if you're the only place selling A. I think that's probably where it's... But it does sound really weird. Like, you don't have a monopoly on selling your own product.
I understand what they're saying, but I'm also going, why can't you? If you're in charge, if it's your product, why can't you? I mean, there are other things that you buy where it's like, if you buy this and you buy, I'm trying to think what they are there. Like, I feel like I've been in this situation before where if you buy this and this, then you can get access to and unlock this.
Okay, so another really good and probably pertinent example is a Rolex. You cannot buy a new model Rolex unless you are an existing Rolex customer. Now, you can buy a new model of like their lowest, their cheapest. I mean, I don't know what cheapest means in Rolex, still ungodly expensive. But if they get a new design, you know, the ones that they do kind of in collaboration with like big celebrities or Formula One champions or whatever, and they'll produce, say, 100 of these and they'll go into the Rolex stores worldwide. And I only know this because Fields' sister company, Fraser Hart in the UK, they had a big Rolex business. And part of the whole thing was that they would get 10 of these limited edition new Rolexes, or maybe 5 in, and they wouldn't be on the sales floor and they wouldn't sell them to somebody who just came in off the street, because A, they had their customers who had bought from them loads of times and they wanted to keep them happy and in their pockets. And B, there was also a really big concern, and I think probably a valid concern from previous experience, that whoever came in off the street to buy a Rolex was going to be using a stolen credit card or giving them a fake check, or wasn't going to be good for it, basically, whereas they knew that their loyal customers had the money.
Okay, so that's part of it. But like, take out the criminal aspect of it. It also just goes back to access. It's about building exclusivity. And like, it's a strategy, it's a corporate strategy to try to maintain the exclusivity. Like, they want them to be real. Like, if every Tom, Dick and Harry can get them, goes the thinking, right?
Nobody wants them.
Yeah. They're no longer desirable. Okay, so I mean, I don't think it's easy. And if you're dying to get a Rolex or you're dying to get a Birkin, obviously it's a pain in the arse. But like, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so maybe it is illegal. But I mean, to me, I'm just like, okay, sorry about you. It doesn't bother me.
I'd be really interested to see where the lawsuit goes. I mean, obviously it will have big ramifications on Hermes selling in the US, but I'd love to see kind of to drill down in the numbers and see how much of Hermes's business is actually in the US, how much is in China, how much is in the UK.
Sorry, what do you mean it'll have big ramifications? If they win?
Yes, if the plaintiffs win and Hermes is then told, okay, you cannot do these tying practices on Birkins, I wonder, will they stop having their own boutiques and just have shop in shops? Will they, you know what I mean? Will they find another way around it?
That's what I'm about to say. They'll absolutely find another way around it. And they'll just say, okay. And they'll just say, okay, well, those 3 Birkins are not going out on the shop floor, like you said. Don't need to tie anything to them, but they're going to Mary Q, our millionaire best customer, Susie B, who spent $2 million last year, and somebody else will get first dibs, and they will come along and they will happily buy them and there'll be no issue. Like, I think if I was Diana Vreeland or Coco Chanel, I'd probably say, darling, the fact that you're taking them to court means that you can't afford them. And I don't even mean financially. I just mean, I think it really goes back to like a class.
I was just about to say it's very déclassé to like make this big fuss over not getting your Birkin.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say was it's actually gross. Like, I think the reason it doesn't bother me is because I go, it's gross. The idea, it is already gross that you'd spend 40 grand on a handbag. But I mean, that's your business. And like you said, if you're Kim Kardashian, you want to, like, it's your money, you do whatever you want with it. But it's gross that a company would require that the customer who's already willing to spend 40,000 has to spend 50, has to spend 60. That seems déclassé.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the whole thing just kind of leaves a bad taste. Have you ever had a fashion item or an accessory or a bag or a pair of shoes that you have gone on a waiting list for, I guess? Or like, you know, can you remember a bag or a pair of shoes or a specific thing that you just really, really, really wanted?
Yes. Only yesterday I went on a waiting list on H&M for a sequin dress with big shoulders that was out of stock in my size.
H&M gets you with the sequins every single season. Do you remember those sequin ankle boots with the kind of ruched, fabric around the ankles?
So you were obsessed. I never got them. I never got them. I've gone on a lot of waiting lists. And the problem is they notify me. I open my email. It says, your thing is back in stock. And I go, oh, amazing. And I rush to it. And it's like gone because obviously that email is from like 9 hours ago, you know. The dress was amazing, actually. But I did think probably it's armless, right? Armless wouldn't hurt you. No, but like it's, I'll show it to you later. It's kind of a shift, but I guarantee you the arms would be chafed off you.
Do you mean sleeveless?
Yeah.
Armless. Do you work in fashion? Armless.
What?
I've never heard a fashion item been described as armless.
Fine, grand. Fine, it's sleeveless. But the underarms would be like, not literally under, but like the underside of your arms would be chafed off you. Can you imagine? Be like sandpaper.
Yeah, but I have to say, if it had sleeves, because I bought a sequin dress from ASOS years ago to wear to a friend's wedding, and it was like a little t-shirt dress, and actually in photographs it was terrible. I looked like a, I don't know, some kind of whirling dervish. It was terrible. Anyway, and as I was walking along during the day, all the sequins came off from under the arm, like on the sleeves and the dress from rubbing together. Do you know what I mean? So I sent it back and I got my money
yes.
back.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't go on a waiting list at all, but I coveted and I saved actually two different things. One was a vintage dress in Paris, actually only 100, I mean, not only, but like at the time I thought it was, you know, massively expensive. One of my most expensive purchases at that point, if not the most expensive. Probably the second most expensive. I think the most expensive up until then had been a Marc Jacobs skirt that I bought in Italy for my interview with John Galliano in Paris. And I love to still have it upstairs.
That's a lovely skirt. Is that the silk one that's kind of purpley skirt. And blue?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It also has rips all over it from like being worn to bits. Then I bought this vintage dress in a vintage store around the corner from where I lived in Paris. And it was €150 and I had to pay for it in three installments of €50 over 3 months.
This was probably in what, like 1985? A long time ago.
Having a fucking laugh.
Yes, I am having a laugh.
And then when I moved to New York and I was working at Diamond Furstenberg, I bought myself, you know me and the buckles. I love a good buckle. I had this amazing pair of buckled boots as well when I was like in college and I wore them to bits. Got an admiration from them on the New York subway when I was in camp counselor. I remember that. This guy goes, he was staring at me and I was like, I'm about to be stabbed. And he goes, like your boots. And I was like, oh, thanks. I tried to act real nonchalant, but I was honestly like nearly died with relief.
Say you failed.
Well, and anyway, then I bought these Alexander Wang, which I was actually looking at the other day going, will I ever wear them again? Will they ever be fashionable again? And they're like high ankle boots with massive buckles on them. Do you remember them?
I bought the exact same ones, remember, but in a different color. I think I bought them in like the gray or the silvery gray. I just was such a little copycat. I know.
Where are they now?
I bought mine on sale because they weren't nice. I mean, I must have sold them through Chabela or something, I'd say. Everything I ever had has gone through Chabela to someone else.
Should have kept everything I owned, in fact, as I was reading about the price of vintage now. I'm like, I should have kept every single piece of everything ever. Anyway, I then also saw a pair of amazing buckled studded shoes this week in Reformation. I did go on the waiting list for those, but like not really the waiting list, more like notify me if these ever come back into stock. But then I'm like, they're $395. I'm probably not going to buy them. So it's more don't notify me so I can just believe they never came back into stock. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I went on the waiting list for a pair of jeans from American Eagle, not quite as fancy. And then when I did get the alert, I was like, who am I kidding? You know, like I just look at these things and I'm like, I'm going to look exactly like that model. And I'm not.
Have you ever gone on the waiting list for anything? Have you ever gone on the waiting list for anything, that not even clothing?
Yes, I went on the waiting list for the limited edition Lay Denim nail polish collection that came out of Chanel and was not sold on the beauty counter. It was only sold at the boutique. And I trotted into the boutique delightedly to buy my nail polishes. And then I asked if I could see some of the 2.55s, the flap handbags, which at that point were €1,800. And I remember being like, oh my God, if I saved up and I did this, you know, basically if I saved up, I should have known even then I wasn't capable. I can get them. And I'm so annoyed now that I didn't, because that same bag is now €4,800.
Well, so that's the only thing you ever want on the waitlist for. Do you never go on the waitlist for like a holiday, a house?
A holiday?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what else. The waitlist. Like, do you never go on the waitlist for anything else?
I'm on the waitlist for an oral motor specialist for Atlas. It's not quite.
I feel like
glamorous.
I went on the wait list for to join this club. This, like, do you remember when Facebook had been out about, I don't know, 10 years, and there was this European club thing that came out, and it was all by word of mouth. You had to be invited by somebody to join. It was, again, an online, you know, it was an online networking thing, but it was all people would get together and they would go to nightclubs and hang out and stuff like that. I can't remember what it was called. I
Sounds
was
awful.
Desperate to get on this. I can't tell you why. I applied so many times, which I feel was probably the equivalent of taking them to court. It was like so needy. They were like, this one's not getting in.
I was just about to say, after the second application, I'd say they're literally just like, no.
Oh, I was sitting at home, like, finding these, you know, I'd find kind of snippets from my other friends who were part of the group. I'd find, like, things that they'd posted on actual regular Facebook. I'd be like, that must have been one of those events. And I'd be like, I absolutely would fit in there. I don't know why I haven't been invited to join. And then my friend from Milan, who was a member, came over and she was like, oh, I've been invited to this party. It's in this thing downtown, in, or like down on the Champs-Élysées. And so I went, and the biggest pack of saps you could. And they were just now literally like, they all had just rollicked in on the ponies that daddy bought them. And all of the 22-year-old men who I was like, I was used to hanging out in dive bars, you know, fancying anybody with a musical instrument and no job. I was like, that's my man. These all had like trust funds, their sweaters tied around their necks, beautifully parted hair, just like nightmare.
I'd say their trousers had creases down the middle, did they?
Oh, 1,000,000%. And she was in her element. And I was just like, oh.
That's surreal. Be careful what you wish for. But it does remind me of a piece that I was sent this week by Liam from the RTE website about a new app called Time Left. Right? It's in New York, but it hasn't made it to Fort Wayne yet. I sent you this link, Beatrice, where you have dinner with strangers. You join the app.
Oh!
And every Wednesday, they set up a date for like you and whoever else wants to go, and you go and you have dinner with 4 or 5 strangers. And you expressed a desire to do this.
No, I didn't. I said I wouldn't hate it, but I wouldn't join it.
I think people for a while found the idea of hosting a salon very trendy, and people kind of started doing that. Like, I went to dinner at Niall Harbison's house. Niall Harbison, who was the founder of Simply Zesty, and then he went on to found Love in Dublin and Love in Dubai and Love in all these different places. And now he lives in Thailand and rescues dogs, according to his book, How I Basically Became a Dog Rescuer and Changed My Life. But he invited me over to his house. Yeah, it is nice. He invited me over to his house with 4 or 5 other people for dinner. People I hadn't met. So there was like one guy who was in hedge funds, and then another guy who owns 3FE Coffee. And then there was a model that I vaguely knew from like just working in kind of Irish media and fashion. And there was another younger, like a woman who was younger than me. And the main thing that I took from that entire evening was that not a single man got up to help clear up, put anything away. And like after each course, after the first course, the 3 women got up and helped. After the second course, I sat down because I was like, I'm not getting up again. It's someone else's turn. And the 2 women got up. And I was like,
because the men needed to conserve their energy.
They were too busy doing business.
When they trot home on daddy's ponies, they needed to wait.
Okay, so right now, if you had to go on a waiting list for one thing, what would it be?
What would it be? Oh, I love a holiday in Hawaii. Do I get this thing at the end of it?
Yeah, but you also have to pay for it.
Oh, nothing. What about you? What would you go on a waiting list for?
I'd go on a waiting list for a table for 2 at Taj Mahal during happy hour.
Oh, that'd be nice. Do you know what? I'd go on a waiting list for I'm putting some caveats around this so it doesn't end up costing me too much. A bargain trip to Killarney, where I get to travel around Ireland and see all the sights. That's what I'd love to go and do an actual real touristy trip of Ireland. That's what I'd love to do. And I'd like it to cost nothing and like be almost free. And I go on that wait list right now.
You basically need to become a travel influencer. And then you could potentially just go on all the pressers. You've had too many kids though.
Good luck to me. Yeah, good luck to me. I'll be like, oh, it's so, shh.
Thank you all so much for listening to Not Without My Sister. If you like the podcast, you can get more of where this came from by signing up to our Patreon, patreon.com/notwithoutmysister. You can email us, notwithoutmysister@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at notwithoutmysister. And we'll be back next week.
Thank you very much for listening.
Bye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.